We are in the middle of breaking down the medical evidence in the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. In the last episode, we looked at President Kennedy's back and throat wounds, Governor Connally's back, chest, right wrist, and left thigh wounds, and did a deep dive on the so-called magic bullet, also known as Commission Exhibit 399. In this episode, we'll continue to analyze the medical evidence so that we can determine whether the Warren Report conclusions were correct, and if not, what things it got wrong. What do the facts say about Kennedy's fatal head wound? What can we learn from watching the Zapruder film? Can we rely on the autopsy photographs that have been released? And is there any factual support for the idea that the autopsy photos, the autopsy x-rays, and the Zapruder film itself were altered?
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
The flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
This is Solving JFK. I'm your host, Matt Crumpton. The key to solving President Kennedy's fatal head wound is determining exactly where on his head the bullet entered. If there's an entry point in the back of Kennedy's head and an exit toward the front, that bodes well for the Warren Report's conclusion that all of the shots came from the Texas School Book Depository, which was behind the president. However, if there is an entrance wound in the front of his head and exit in the rear, then that points to a shot from the front and proves that there was a second shooter. According to the Warren Report, Kennedy was hit, quote, in the rear portion of his head, causing a massive and fatal wound. The president then fell to the left into Mrs. Kennedy's lap. The report goes on to say, quote, the detailed autopsy of President Kennedy performed on the night of November 22nd at the Bethesda Naval Hospital led the three examining pathologists to conclude that the smaller hole in the rear of the president's skull was the point of entry, and the large opening on the right side of his head was the wound of exit. The smaller hole on the back of the president's head measured 1/4 of an inch by 5/8 of an inch, or 6 by 15 millimeters. Dr. Fink, one of the autopsy doctors, testified that, quote, President Kennedy was, in my opinion, shot from the rear. The bullet entered the back of the head and went out on the right side of his skull. He was shot from above and behind. The Warren Report confirms that all three of the doctors who conducted the autopsy concluded that there was a rear entrance and side exit wound in Kennedy's head. That's strong evidence supporting the Warren Report's conclusion that Oswald acted alone, and that there were no shots from the front. What do Warren Report critics say about the head wound? So where exactly on the back of Kennedy's head was the rear entrance wound? The Warren Report said it was at the base of Kennedy's skull. The commission's exact location is shown in a drawing by medical illustration student Harold Rydberg, who we'll talk more about later. This drawing is known as CE-388. The drawing puts the bullet entry wound basically in the middle of where Kennedy's neck and skull come together. That's just a couple of inches up from where Kennedy's hairline starts in the back. But this official entry wound location came into question in 1967 when Attorney General Ramsey Clark appointed a panel of four doctors led by Dr. Russell Fisher to review and analyze the photographs, x-ray films, and documents set forth in the Warren Report. Dr. Fisher and the Clark panel determined that the actual point of entry was closer to the cowlick area near the top of Kennedy's skull and not at the base of the skull, as the Warren Report claimed. The difference in entrance wounds between the Clark panel and the original autopsy was 4.5 inches. When Congress reconsidered the case a decade later, the HSCA accepted the findings of the Clark panel doctors over the Warren Report autopsy doctors. The Clark panel's location of the head wound entrance is shown in a drawing that's known as HSCA Exhibit 66. It basically shows the bullet clipping the top right side of Kennedy's head. And in HSCA Exhibit 66, Kennedy is not leaning forward nearly as much as he was in the Warren Report drawing, CE388. There's also a famous image of Kennedy's head with a ruler being held up to the back of it. It shows the back right side being fully intact with a dark spot which looks like an entrance wound at the top of the skull, right where the Clark panel said it was. This image is known as HSCA Exhibit 48. And while it does a good job of showing the location of where the Clark panel claimed the bullet entered, it is a little misleading. That's because it's not a picture. It's an artist rendering. So, from an evidentiary perspective, it's meaningless. But the rendering is so good that it does look like a picture. If you just came across it online, you would think it was real. What I don't understand is, why didn't the HSCA just show the photo of the autopsy instead of having an artist draw a picture of it? Dr. Fisher from the Clark panel claims that in the autopsy x-rays and photos, they observed a 6.5 millimeter fragment near the top of the rear skull. Remember, 6.5 millimeters is the exact size of the ammo allegedly fired by Oswald. The Clark panel's discovery of this fragment raises the question, how did all of the autopsy doctors and radiologists miss this 6.5 millimeter fragment at the top of the skull if the Clark panel was able to see it? Autopsy doctors and government officials who were present at the autopsy don't remember a 6.5 millimeter fragment being discovered. Dr. Humes, who led the autopsy, when shown this fragment on the x-ray, said, quote, "The ones we retrieved, I didn't think were the same size as this. They were considerably smaller. I don't remember seeing anything that size when I looked at these films." Dr. Boswell, another autopsy doctor, said, quote, "No, we did not find one that large. I'm sure of that." FBI agents Siebert and O'Neill, who were present at the autopsy, also do not recall there being any bullet fragments that were as large as 6.5 millimeters. During the HSCA hearings, the autopsy doctors were shown photos of the back of Kennedy's head to confirm that the photos in the National Archives were consistent with what the doctors saw. In the photos the doctors were shown, there was a red spot near Kennedy's cowlick that was alleged to be the entrance wound. When the HSCA asked Dr. Fink, the other autopsy doctor, about these photos, he said, quote, "I don't know what it is. How are these photographs identified as coming from the autopsy of President Kennedy?" There are zero witnesses at Parkland Hospital or the autopsy in Bethesda who noticed a red spot on the top of Kennedy's head. When Dr. Humes found out from the HSCA that the official location of the head wound had been changed, he was not persuaded. The HSCA report says, quote, "Dr. Humes stated categorically that his physical measurements are correct and emphasized that he had access to the body itself." Dr. Humes stood by the original autopsy position when interviewed by the Journal of the American Medical Association in 1992 and during his testimony to the Assassination Records Review Board, or ARRB, in 1996. And Dr. Boswell, the last of the three autopsy doctors, says that he never believed that the Clark panel was correct in changing the location of the head wound from the original autopsy. Now, you can argue that the original autopsy pathologists were just embarrassed about the big mistake they made, apparently misidentifying the location of the entrance wound of Kennedy's fatal headshot. That's what Warren Report defender Vincent Bugliosi says happened. He thinks the autopsy doctors just missed the 6.5-millimeter fragment in Kennedy's head. But if you're someone who believes the Warren Report got it right, you would think that these doctors would try to do their best. It's hard to believe that everyone in the room missed that 6.5-millimeter fragment, but then a panel of doctors who never even had access to the body would get things right 5 years later just by looking at some x-rays. Conspiracy theorists believe that there may have been shenanigans with the x-rays that were relied upon by the Clark panel. That's a big accusation. Is there anything to support it? According to Bethesda x-ray assistant Gerald Custer, Dr. John Ebersol made a strange request after the assassination. He said to Custer, quote, "I need you to do a special duty. I have skull fragments here, and I've got bullet fragments. I want you to tape the bullet fragments to the skull fragments and take x-rays at different densities. This is for a bust of Kennedy." So the man who was responsible for doing the x-rays of Kennedy's head claims that he was told to stage bullet fragments for a bust of Kennedy. That's a doozy. We know that Custer had that job. He's a real person. He was interviewed by the ARRB under oath when he made those claims. Even Warren Report defenders like David Von Pine don't think Custer is lying. Instead, they say that he just must be mistaken because we already know that Oswald was the lone assassin. So people who believe that Lee Harvey Oswald alone assassinated the president have a choice to make. They have to choose between the autopsy report, which puts the entrance wound at the base of the skull, or the Clark panel and HSCA position, which puts the entrance wound around the top of the skull. But both things cannot be true. The implication of these conflicting wounds is that either the autopsy doctors and radiologists were very bad at their job, or there was some sort of fraud. But if you're a conspiracy theorist, neither the Warren Report position nor the Clark panel position infers conspiracy. So what medical evidence do conspiracy theorists offer to prove that Kennedy's headshot came from the front? The original statements of most of the Parkland Hospital doctors who treated President Kennedy supported the idea of a massive exit wound in the back of his head. Of the 16 medical personnel at Parkland who actually interacted with the president, none of them noted the presence of a small entrance wound in the back of his head. Let's take a look at what the Parkland doctors had to say about the location of Kennedy's head wound. Dr. Charles Crenshaw described the back of Kennedy's head as looking, quote, "like a crater, an empty cavity. All I could see there was mangled bloody tissue. From the damage I saw, there was no doubt in my mind that the bullet had entered his head from the front." Dr. Kemp Clark, the chief of neurosurgery at Parkland, told the Warren Commission, quote, "I examined the wound in the back of the president's head, and this was a large, gaping wound in the right posterior part, with cerebral and cerebellar tissue being damaged and exposed." Dr. Paul Peters claimed that there was a large exit wound in the back of President Kennedy's head.
"I could see that he had a large, about 7 centimeter opening in the right occipital parietal area, and considerable portion of the brain was missing there, and the occipital cortex, the back portion of the brain, was lying down near the opening of the wound, and blood was trickling out. I stepped up and looked, and I could see inside President Kennedy's head on the right side near the back. We call it the occipito-parietal area. And the scalp had been torn apart there, and the skull had been blasted open by the effect of the high-velocity missile.
Dr. Perry, the attending surgeon, told the Warren Commission, quote, "I noted there was a large wound of the right posterior parietal area in the head, exposing lacerated brain." Dr. Jones told the commission, quote, "There was a large defect in the back side of the head as the president lay on the cart with what appeared to be some brain hanging out of this wound." Dr. Robert McClelland, who may have had the best vantage point of all Parkland doctors, described the head wound this way during his Warren Commission testimony. Quote, "As I took the position at the head of the table to help out with the tracheotomy, I was in such a position that I could very closely examine the head wound, and I noted that the right posterior portion of the skull had been extremely blasted in such a way that you could actually look down into the skull cavity itself and see that probably a third or so of the posterior cerebral tissue and some of the cerebellar tissue had been blasted out." The cerebellar tissue is from the cerebellum, which is located near the brainstem. So if Dr. McClelland can see the cerebellar tissue, that tends to support a wound being in the lower back of the head, as opposed to being on the side of the head. Dr. McClelland reiterated the same testimony when he was interviewed with Dr. Jones by the Sixth Floor Museum in 2013.
Dr. Perry was assuming the role of the primary surgeon. And as I walked by on the left side of the gurney the president was lying on, Dr. Perry leaned across and handed me a surgical retractor and said, "Bob, would you go stand at the head of the cart and lean over and put this retractor in the wound in his neck where we're going to explore and do a tracheostomy?"
Can you explain for those of us that have missed what a retractor is?
Well, a retractor is a little metal surgical instrument, very simple, little blade, that has a little hook on the end of it, and you can put that in the edge of an incision and pull it open so the operating surgeon can see better down into the wound. So that put me at the head of the gurney, leaning over the president's head and looking down from about 18 inches into his head wound and the back of his wound. So I had probably the best view of that massive wound in the back of his head from that position where I was helping Dr. Perry and Dr. Baxter do the tracheostomy and the exploration of this wound.
There wasn't a doctor in the room who was probably closer to that massive head wound than you.
No. In fact, when I went and stood in that position, the first thing that kind of exclaimed out of my mouth was I said, "My God, have you seen the back of his head? It's gone." And Dr. Carrico said, "No, we just got here, just ahead of you, and we haven't had time to look at anything except this wound in his neck." And I said, "Well, the back of his brain, the back half of his brain is gone." And as I stood there, just as I said that, the right half of the cerebellum, the back part of the brain, fell out of that massive wound in the back of his head onto the cart. So this was obvious that this was a fatal injury to the brain.
Al Wright, who helped put President Kennedy's body into the casket at Parkland Hospital, said that it seemed like the back of the president's head was soft.
"We picked him up, and the back of his head felt like a wet sponge. It was just real soft. And as if, skull was, part of his skull was missing."
You've probably seen Secret Service agent Clint Hill before. He's the agent in the Zapruder film who jumps onto the back of the presidential limo after the shots are fired. Hill filed a report about what he observed in Dallas. In that Secret Service report, Hill says, quote, "I jumped onto the left rear step of the presidential automobile. Mrs. Kennedy shouted, 'They've shot his head off!' Then turned and raised out of her seat as if she were reaching to her right rear toward the back of the car for something that had blown out. As I lay over the top of the back seat, I noticed a portion of the president's head on the right rear side was missing, and he was bleeding profusely. Immediately after the news was released that Kennedy had died, Press Secretary Malcolm Kilduff made the following announcement at Parkland Hospital.
John F. Kennedy died at approximately 1 o'clock Central Standard Time today here in Dallas. He died of a gunshot wound in the brain. Dr. Berkley told me it's a simple matter, Tom, of a bullet right through the head.
What's crazy about this statement is that when you look at the video, Kilduff is pointing at his right front temple when he says, right through the head. Finally, I took a look at the summary for the written medical reports from that day at Parkland Hospital, describing the head wound. And those reports say that the head wound was, quote, in the occipital region of the skull. That's the back part of the skull. So, yes, there's a lot of evidence supporting a headshot from the front in the form of eyewitness testimony of Parkland doctors and people who interacted with Kennedy up close after he was shot. Significantly, the written medical reports also support the testimony of the doctors that the wound is in the occipital region. This is more of a lower back head wound than a side wound, which is what the Warren report alleged. You're listening to this podcast, so I know you've got a curious mind. Here's a helpful fact that you might not know yet. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $900 on average. Pop over to progressive.com, answer some questions, and you'll get a quick quote with discounts that are easy to come by. In fact, 99% of their auto customers earn at least one discount. So visit progressive.com and see if you can enjoy a little cash back. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $946 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2024 and May 2025. Potential savings will vary. Okay, so I've never been a huge weed person, but this guy that I know, let's just say, is. So whether you're like me or the guy I know, or you're really into weed, whatever it is, you're about to nerd out big because there's this company called Mood, Mood.com, that's changing the way people buy cannabis. Here's the science, and this is the part I love. The reason different cannabis strains make you feel different ways isn't just about THC, it's also based on other components called terpenes. Terpenes influence how your bud tastes and smells, but they also affect what you feel. So one terpene might make you feel uplifted and energetic, and another one makes you relaxed and sleepy. There are dozens of these. So when you have the right combination of terpenes, you can feel social, focused, creative, aroused, chilled out, or whatever. You just go to mood.com, click shop by mood, and that's it. Want to be more social at a party? There's flower for that. Need to focus and get more work done? There's flower for that. Want to melt into your couch and watch movies? Yep, flower for that too. And here's the part few people realize. It's now 100% federally legal to have really great bud shipped right to your door. It's third-party lab tested and comes in a discreet box. Best of all, everything is backed by Mood's 100-day satisfaction guarantee. And like I said, you can get 20% off with code JFK. So head to mood.com and get 20% off of your first order with code JFK. We've seen that there's evidence from Parkland, but is there any evidence from Bethesda that would support the existence of a large rear head wound? Lieutenant Commander William Pitzer was the head of the audiovisual department for the Naval Medical School, which worked closely with the Bethesda Naval Hospital. According to Pitzer's close friend, Corpsman Dennis David, Pitzer received a call around 4:30 on November 22, 1963, telling him to come in to the Bethesda Naval Hospital. The following Monday or Tuesday, David saw Pitzer crouching over a film editing machine, and Pitzer told David that he wanted to show him something.
3 or 4 days after the assassination, I walked in his office and I saw he was working on some film. He had a movie editor, one of those reel-to-reel and runs across the screen, and he showed it to me, and it was a 16-millimeter film of the autopsy. There were also some slides. He had some slides that he had that showed of tissue slides, and also showed some slides of President Kennedy that were taken while he was on the table at the morgue. And we looked at him, kind of horrified, I guess you would say, at the seriousness of the wound. But I remember one of the things that I remembered was that we saw. They had a picture of Kennedy laying on the table, and it was a front profile, if you will, or front view. And the only thing we saw was a little hole about here in the temple. And then and another photograph, or another slide that Bill had, showed a huge gaping hole here in the back. And so Bill and I logically assumed that the wound was a frontal entry wound, as opposed to what the Warren Commission later said, being shot from behind.
David says Pitzer showed him film of President Kennedy's autopsy. He says, quote, "We both noted a small entry wound in the right side of the forehead. I had seen gunshot wounds before and have seen a lot of them since. I can assure you that it definitely was an entry wound in the forehead." Pitzer did not tell David that he took the film, but David assumed that he did, which he would have been in a position to do as the head of the AV department for the medical school. Notably, Bill Pitzer was shot to death on October 29th, 1966. The incident was ruled a suicide, but it still remains disputed today. Besides Dennis David, there's another person who claims to have seen secret photographs that show an entrance wound from the front. Joe O'Donnell, a friend of White House photographer Robert Knudsen, says that while he was at the White House, Knudsen showed him photos of Kennedy's body showing a small hole in the front of his head and a big hole in the back of his head.
A few days after the assassination, I was at the White House in the press room, and Knudsen came to me, and he said, Joe, I have something I want to show you. So I went back to his sort of a work room, and he pulled out an envelope and showed me about 12 pictures, 5x7, and had all these pictures of the president on his stomach and on his back, and could see the hole here, about 3/8 of an inch, and the back of his head above the line, big hole about the size of a grapefruit. And then a couple of days later, maybe a day later, he said, Joe, I have a minute? And I said, sure. He said, I want to show you something. Those pictures I showed you the other day, these are the same ones, but a little different. And I said, what do you mean? He said, let me show you. He got the first one out, and I said, no hole. He said, no, they covered it up. And looked in the back. The hole was neatly covered up. And I said, who did that? He said, well, I didn't do it. I said, well, I'm not saying you did, but I'm surprised.
Now, we have never seen these photos that allegedly exist, so it's really just O'Donnell's story. Warren Report defenders challenge O'Donnell's credibility, and they point to the fact that Knudsen is not on the list of people who attended the autopsy, and he really wouldn't have any reason to have access to those kind of photos. But the Assassination Records Review Board found documents that prove that Robert Knudsen had, in fact, accompanied Secret Service agent James Fox to the Navy Processing Center to look at negatives from the autopsy photos. So yes, Knudsen is on record as having access to the original autopsy photos. It basically comes down to whether you believe that O'Donnell, who indisputably had access to Knudsen at the same time, would lie to push a conspiracy. There's one more piece of evidence that supports a headshot from the front. Former ARRB researcher Doug Horn notes in his book Inside the ARRB that the mortician who worked on Kennedy also saw a front head wound. Tom Robinson of Gawler's Funeral Home says that he saw a hole in Kennedy's right temple. He says, quote, "The hole was in the hairline. It was a neat wound and did not have to be hidden by makeup." Robinson said he plugged the wound with some wax during the reconstruction. He recalled the wound being about a quarter of an inch in diameter. We've brought up the cerebellum a few times in this episode. It's the portion of the brain that's in the back of the head between the cerebrum and the brainstem. It's at the very bottom of the head, near where the head and neck come together. There were 8 doctors at Parkland Hospital who claimed to have seen cerebellum in the president's head wound. Doctors McClelland, Carrico, Clark, Jenkins, Baxter, Perry, Peters, and Grossman. This observation of cerebellum in the head wound means that the wound would have to be low enough for doctors to see the cerebellum. And if that's the case, then the official autopsy placement of the wound on the top right side of the head would have to be incorrect. However, Warren Report defenders note that both autopsy doctors, Humes and Dr. Boswell, said before the ARRB that there was no damage to the cerebellum at all when they removed it. Further, the autopsy photos of the brain prove that there was no damage to the cerebellum. So who is right about the cerebellum damage? The Parkland doctors or the autopsy doctors, and the brain photos? Now, normally, the brain photos would be a slam dunk to conclusively prove the truth and end the conversation. We're talking about photos. The challenge here, however, as we'll soon find out, is that there are real questions about the authenticity of the autopsy photos of the president's brain. In a previous episode, we talked about the report of FBI agents James Seibert and Frank O'Neill that was generated after those two agents were ordered by J. Edgar Hoover to attend and document the autopsy of President Kennedy. Our earlier discussion of the Seibert and O'Neill report covered their take on the back wound, which they said was a back wound and not a back of the neck wound. But what did the two FBI agents have to say about President Kennedy's head wound? First, we'll go straight to the source, the original 302 report itself from Seibert and O'Neill. That report says that after the president was removed from the casket and the sheets that he was wrapped in were taken off, quote, "It was also apparent that a tracheotomy had been performed, as well as surgery of the head area, namely the top of the skull." This one sentence in the report that talks about surgery at the top of Kennedy's head has been the source of much speculation about exactly when that surgery would have happened and why. Warren Report critics assert that if there was surgery done at the top of the head, it demonstrates that the body was altered between Parkland Hospital and Bethesda, where the autopsy was done. But this one line about surgery on the top of the head is too important to guess as to its meaning. What did Seibert and O'Neill later say about the head surgery line? Agent Seibert said, quote, "When the body was first observed on the autopsy table, it was thought by the doctors that surgery had possibly been performed on the head area, and such was reflected in my notes made at the time. However, this was determined not to be correct following detailed inspection, and when the piece of bone found in the limousine was brought to the autopsy room in the latter stages of the autopsy. Agent O'Neill's take on the mention of surgery in their report was a little different from Agent Seibert's. O'Neill said, quote, Dr. Humes said it was evident that there was some type of a surgical procedure done to the head area or something like that. These were not words that we were making up ourselves. These were words which were said by the doctor at the time. Now, as I understand it, that could have been cutting of the hair or something to do with this thing in the back. I could not make a determination what he meant by that, quite frankly. So the takeaway from the surgery on the headline in the Seibert O'Neill report is that they both heard Dr. Humes say that there had been surgery on the head, but this was not elaborated on by Humes. It wasn't clear exactly what Humes meant, and according to Seibert, Humes probably did not mean that there was actually surgery on the head, or if he did, that was later proven wrong. What about the location of the head wound? Do Seibert and O'Neill place it in the rear of Kennedy's head, as the Parkland doctors did, or closer to his right temple, which is what the official autopsy record shows? According to O'Neill, when they took the sheet off of the president's head, the first thing that struck him was that there was a massive wound on the upper right back of the president's head. Specifically, quote, the back of the head behind the ear. Seibert said that the doctors did say that the rear head wound was an entry wound, but they didn't specify where exactly the entrance point was. There was no discussion in the autopsy about the angle of the bullet hitting President Kennedy's skull. Seibert also made a drawing for the ARRB where he noted the location of the head wound. This drawing, which you should take a look at yourself, shows a large hole on the lower mid-back right side of Kennedy's head. Both O'Neill and Seibert confirmed that there was no damage to President Kennedy's face and no injuries to his head in front of the ear. All of the damage was behind his right ear. So we know that Seibert and O'Neill placed the head wound at about the same place where many of the Parkland doctors did. This is obviously in a different location from the top right side of the head where the autopsy and Warren report placed the head wound. Seibert and O'Neill were both shown some of the official autopsy photos when they testified before the ARRB. Seibert said that the photos he was shown are different from how the body looked when he was there with Agent O'Neill. He said that he recalled photos being taken, but that the body was not cleaned up like the body that appeared in the photos he was shown. Seibert said, quote, I don't have a recollection of the head being that intact as compared with these other pictures. I don't remember seeing anything that was like this photo. I don't recall anything like this at all during the autopsy. The wound was more pronounced, and it looks like it could have been reconstructed or something as compared with what my recollection was and those other photographs. When Agent O'Neill was asked if the autopsy photo that purports to show the president's brain is what O'Neill remembers seeing at the autopsy, he said, quote, no. It appears to be too much. It would seem that the only section of the brain that's missing is this small section over here. To me, that's not consistent with the way I recall seeing it. O'Neill said that the brain he was shown photos of before the ARRB was larger than the one he recalls seeing at the autopsy. So to conclude, Agent Seibert and O'Neill's position on the head wound is that, one, it was in about the same place that most Parkland doctors put it, the right rear of the head behind the ear, not the right temple, as the autopsy says. Two, Dr. Humes did say that there was surgery done on the top of the head during the autopsy, but Seibert says that's incorrect, and O'Neill says that surgery could mean a lot of different things, and he's not sure what Humes meant by that exactly. And finally, three, both Agents Seibert and O'Neill stated that the autopsy photos they were shown of Kennedy's body and brain were not consistent with what they witnessed when they were present at the autopsy. We've talked about many of the people who are critics of the autopsy, but what about the autopsy doctors themselves, Captain James Humes and Commander Thornton Boswell? Since the assassination, have they called their work on the autopsy of President Kennedy into question? The answer is no. While the military doctors acknowledged that they should have called Parkland Hospital to speak with the Dallas doctors before they started the autopsy, both doctors fully and unequivocally supported the autopsy that they conducted. They stand behind their work. Regarding the neck wound that was not dissected, Captain Humes said, quote, "Dissecting the neck wound was totally unnecessary and would have been criminal." He said that the autopsy doctors, quote, "decided to quit speculating around midnight and were influenced by the fact that they knew Jackie Kennedy was waiting upstairs and that Kennedy's doctor, Admiral George Berkeley, wanted them to hurry as much as possible." Humes and Boswell came forward to the Journal of the American Medical Association after the movie JFK came out because they were, quote, "tired of being beaten upon by people who are supremely ignorant of the scientific facts of the president's death." The doctors continue to stand by the location of the head wound being at the right temple. Humes said, quote, "This is always the pattern of a through and through wound of the cranium. This is a law of physics, and it is foolproof, absolutely, unequivocally, and without question." Next time on Solving JFK, we'll analyze the Zapruder film to see what it can tell us. We'll also look at allegations that the film that we have access to today has been materially altered. And we'll continue to analyze claims by Warren Report critics that the autopsy was forged. If you heard anything on this episode that lacks context or you think is incorrect, please let us know. You can email solvingjfkpodcast@gmail.com. Please provide a citation and we'll consider it for a future rebuttal episode.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas.
The flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Thanks for listening. Visit solvingjfkpodcast.com for more information.